talking about hearing from God, hearing God's voice. Last week, we went over six steps, methods that happen when we communicate with someone and with God in particularly. One of those things was we need to engage the Spirit. If we could have the lights on, we'll turn to a scripture here in Mark 7. But we engage daily, and my challenge to you was to engage daily more with your spirit. Engage those gears between mind and spirit and the Holy Spirit. Did anybody try that, stretch out a little bit and do that today? Yeah, I see some hands and some nods and some smiles. And I trust that it worked and people were like, hey, you know, God is there. I can hear God when I listen, all right? Mark 7:14 says, calling to the crowd to him again, Jesus said this, listen to me, everyone, and understand. So let me tell you a story about hearing from God. My family and I, and God, have this running joke that we laugh about, talk about, and wonder about. God likes to yank my chain sometimes, I think. But this running joke is we get messages from God through bird signs, as odd as that may sound. Don't freak out, anybody. Don't leave till I get done with this, okay? Yeah, bird signs. Now, the reason I say that's a joke, and I want you to take it lightly, is because I don't want you to leave here today and go to your friends or on Facebook and say, yeah, our pastor gets messages from God from watching birds. It's not really the case. My preference is that I'm so close to God, and I'm so engaged with Him so often that I hear Him constantly throughout the day through my spirit. That's a direct line of communication. And that's what we're going to talk about today. However, the bird sign thing is really pretty entertaining. And it's really pretty funny. Weird, odd circumstances with birds happen to me and my family. If nothing else, it's God's way of getting my attention. Now, before you think I'm too out there, speaking of birds, he's gone cuckoo. I know what you're thinking. Cuckoo! But before you make that judgment, I'll tell you a story. Just this last week, there was a bird, as we were coming home from somewhere, me and Jill and Mom, walking up the front steps, we find a dead bird on our porch. And I know, right? And I look at, of course, Jill says, don't touch it. But, you know, I've got to touch it. So that's what guys do. Come on. She knows I'm going to touch it. But I pick it up, and I'm looking at it, and I'm spreading it out. I'm trying to figure out what kind of bird this is. It doesn't look like a normal bird that I ever see before. And so Mom pulls out her phone because she's got an app that she can take a picture of a bird, and it tells what. And she does it, click, click, and she says, oh, it's a yellow-billed cuckoo. Now, my first thought is, okay, whatever. That's right. A yellow-billed cuckoo. Apps. She's probably got an iPhone, too. I don't know. Just no, but I thought, that can't be a yellow. I've never even heard of a yellow-billed cuckoo, much less seen one in Oklahoma. So I do away with the bird body and wash my hands, according to my lovely wife, Jill, that won't let me touch her until I do. And I do some research on this, and sure enough, 100%, this is a yellow-billed cuckoo on my front porch. And it was weird. And I thought, okay, God, you got my attention. What are you trying to say? Now, to go back a little bit, about a month ago, Jill and I began praying about moving into finding a new house around the church, you know, staying here in town, finding a new home. So I look up what it might mean to some people if they see a yellow-billed cuckoo. And I quote for you, a change in the living environment. Yeah. And I thought, God, you're just messing with me now. Now again, I'm not saying that you should base your life decisions off of things that you see birds do or die on your front porch, but it's kind of funny, and I completely, totally blame God for that. And we have a good time with it. We see something happen, and Jill's automatically, Jeff, what does that mean? Well, I don't know, but at least God's getting our attention. Now, God's used several things in the Bible to get people's attention. And I thought that I would list some of these. I picked a few out. This isn't all of them. I've got scripture verses on these examples. If you want to go to my notes in YouVersion, or if you want the notes as you leave, you can get notes out in the foyer. But just for example, Elisha, God spoke to Elisha through a musician, believe it or not. One time, God enabled a donkey to speak to Balaam to teach him a lesson. It wasn't the voice of God, but he allowed the donkey to speak, right? God spoke to Moses loud like the thunder. It almost made it seem like God's voice was in the thunder. And yet, to Elijah on the mountain, God's voice was a sound of a gentle blowing. God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Many times, actually, God spoke through a fire, drought, flood, angels, prophets, kings, dreams and visions, Gideon's fleece, which is not recommended, just a story in the Bible. We shouldn't all start throwing out fleeces and saying, God, is this you? But sometimes God has to work with what he's got. And there's several other things. If we categorized all the things, the ways that God spoke in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we would categorize them like this. There were people, spiritual beings, dreams and visions, writings. He used nature and circumstances God would use to get his communication across to people. So I thought, well, let's see what the New Testament and how God spoke in the New Testament. Through Jesus, obviously, through his apostles and disciples, through the Word of God, through the inner, still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. We see a lot of that in Acts. Through the advice of counsel of God, of men and women of God. An audible voice, once or twice, happened in the New Testament. And dreams and visions and angels, also God spoke through them. So if we categorize the ways God spoke in the New Testament, we get the same list, the same categories, except for one. That's the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. So it'd be people, spiritual beings, dreams and visions, writings like the Bible, nature or bird signs, circumstances, and the Holy Spirit. So we as humans can communicate with each other through some of these methods. Some of these methods we really understand because we can use them to communicate with each other. Speaking to each other, words, hearing, we can speak through people, we can speak through circumstances and things like that. And I know I don't want you to get hung up on God speaking to us through circumstances. We'll talk about that next week. But there's other methods that we normally do not use to communicate to each other, but God uses to communicate to us. These are spiritual beings, dreams and visions, and nature. We can't use those things to speak to each other. But we can hear and understand those things and that type of communication, that spiritual type of communication, because now, as a new creation, that is part of our DNA, to be able to hear and understand God. So I want to talk today about how God communicates to us directly. As I said, we spoke last week about engaging our minds and our spirits to hear God speak. I read like Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I read 2 Corinthians 9:10, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered to the heart of man that which I have prepared for them that love him. But I have revealed them unto you by my Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. His Spirit communicating to our spirit. Now let's go on in that passage right there. Verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? So in other words, no one knows really what Gary is thinking except for his own spirit. His spirit inside of Gary is going to know exactly what he's thinking all the time. Who can know that better than your own spirit? But notice there's two parts of your being in this scripture. A part of your being that is your spirit, and a part of your being that is the understanding, the thinking, your spirit understanding your mind. So he goes on. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So God's the same way. God has thoughts. God has a spirit. The Spirit knows those thoughts. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So he says, only your spirit knows what you're thinking, and only God's spirit knows what he's thinking, and yet God invested inside of us a part of himself. Interestingly enough, the part of himself that knows what God is thinking is now in us conversing with our spirits. That's exciting. That's better than a bird sign right there, folks. Let me tell you. So we have received the Spirit who is from God. Why? So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak. See, let this whole thing sink into your spirit, into your brain this morning. We also speak this way, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So think about that. There's a language that he's talking about here that isn't human words. So when we hear from God, sometimes we expect to hear, Jeff. Yes, Lord? It's time to get up. Or whatever God may be trying to tell you. We want to hear those words. We want to hear, or we want to see a movie or something. But there's a language here that I want you to realize is in you from God. A language, not words taught by human wisdom, but a language taught by the Holy Spirit. So also realize that this language doesn't immediately just come natural. There's some learning to do to it. I think it's usually pretty quick learning, but this Holy Spirit is teaching you this language to hear Him. And this language combines spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. Spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. Let that sink in. Get that. Mark that in your Bible. Write it down and study it this week. Verse 14, he goes on to say, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them. makes no sense whatsoever because they are spiritually appraised. They are not logically appraised. They are not mentally appraised or naturally appraised. Makes absolutely no sense for Moses to go to Pharaoh, who used to be his adopted dad pretty much, and say, by the way, my new God is going to punish you with plagues unless you let my people go. Makes no sense at all. Makes no sense for Jonah to go to this king of a very heathen, idol-worshipping nation who has tortured Jonah's people for years, and he goes there and God says, I want you to go to them and tell them that they need to repent or I'm going to come down on them. It makes no sense whatsoever to send Jonah to do that. It makes no sense to call Jeff Donaldson to be a pastor of a church. Have you got the right Jeff Donaldson, Lord? Doesn't make any sense for me to do that. Sometimes God's not going to make sense to you what's logical or what seems natural making sense because it's not physically appraised, it is spiritually appraised. I'm figuring this out via the Spirit, it makes sense, but not any other way. So when God leads you to do something and you're like, oh, my family's going to think I'm crazy, it may be a sign that you're on the right track. If you step out in faith and go a direction and your friends or your coworker says, oh, that is not going to work. That's not how that happens. Logically, no. But spiritually appraise it, and that may be exactly what God wants you to do. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Does that not fill you? Does that whole passage not fill you with almost an overwhelming sense of authority and potential? That you have the Spirit, the part of God that knows his every thought is in your spirit, is in you, speaking to your spirit who also knows all of your thoughts. If we'll learn to engage that, and learn that language that the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us at all times. Think about the access that we have because of God's investment in us, a part of himself. Think about the potential that we have. And how do we hear that voice? I want us to become comfortable with the spiritual world that we live in. We have so much distractions and so much attention from the natural physical world that I know that it's become a little bit more difficult, it seems like, these days than normal because we have all of this information and entertainment battling for our attention at all times. But I want us to slow down and realize there is a spiritual world that we live in. And to be honest with you, if you think about it real hard, the spiritual world that we can't see is actually more realistic than the world that we can see. The reason I know that is because this physical world will someday be gone. This physical body will someday be gone. I will have a spiritual body. So I want us to become comfortable with the spiritual world that we live in as Christians, that spiritual access that we have to God at all times, constantly, whether we know it or not. 1 John 2:20. He's writing about the end times, and he talks about the last hour. He's talking about love not the world or the things in the world, and he says, the Antichrist is coming. As a matter of fact, there are some that are already here. And he says this in 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing. King James Version says unction from the Holy One. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you all know. You know because you have this unction from the Holy Spirit. That unction is a word translated from the Greek word charisma, anointing or unction or special endowment. This is that language that does not have words. This is a language that our physical ears may not hear, but we know it down deep inside of us. We can tell. And that message is there. It has been. It's from the Spirit. We may be unaware of the source, but there's a source speaking to us. Have you ever been somewhere? I'll ask you this for an example. Maybe you're with friends or family or out in town somewhere, and somebody stops and says, "Oh, what's that noise? You hear that ringing?" And there's noises going on all everywhere. You hear, you know, jackhammers, cars, and horns and stuff, and you're like, "No, I don't hear anything." And they point it out to you, and you're like, "Oh, yeah, I do hear that now." And all of a sudden, you realize that there's a noise there. There's a source there making that noise. It was there the whole time, but you didn't really realize it. You weren't tuned into it. And now you're highly aware of it. So you hear it all the time, and it grates on your nerves, and you're like, "Thank you." I had a friend over one night when I was younger. We lived out in the country. I was raised in the country, and have you ever felt like something like that ever happened to you? That's how I believe the Spirit of God is. Sometimes we don't even realize the source and the sound is right there all along. It's kind of like Jacob after he had that dream in Bethel. He woke up and said, "Surely God is in this place, and I didn't even know it." What if we are hearing from God all the time and don't realize it? What if our awareness of his voice was so heightened that we began to hear him all the time and we had constant access, think about this, constant access to his knowledge and his wisdom and his direction for our lives all the time? Some people, you know, they don't feel like they hear from God. And here's one good example to remember. If you're a Christian, if you have given your life to Christ, you heard God's voice. It's a have-to thing. You had to hear God's voice. This is something that changed you spiritually, and you received that message spiritually. I want to give you another example from the Bible in 2 Kings 6. This is when Elisha does something and makes a whole entire country upset with him, and they are coming after him. The other king says, "Listen, we're not going to win unless we get Elisha out of the way. Let's go get him, and then we'll go back to the battle and fight the Israelites." And so they find Elisha. They surround his entire city. And Elisha's servant gets up and goes outside for his morning coffee, and he looks around. He's like, "Oh my goodness, this is bad news." So he goes back in and says, "Elisha, the whole city is surrounded, and they're coming after you." Elisha said this. He prayed, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. They were there the whole time, but the servant couldn't see it. His voice is there for us and has been there for us the whole time. We just need to learn to access it. We need to learn to engage our spirits. We need to learn to tune in to his voice that is there for us. Amen? Psalm 78:1. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Have you ever seen an animal's ears? When they turn, they'll be looking at you. That deer walker will be looking at you. He knows you're there. He starts turning his ears like he hears something behind him and he turns those ears. That was the word they used to describe that. Incline your ear. It doesn't mean incline. It means to turn your ear towards him. We need to turn our spiritual ears toward him to listen to him. Our spiritual ears are not things that we'll hear from audibly, but rather things that we'll receive from the depths of our spirit. It's that unction, that feeling that we get. Turn to John 10, and I'll tell you about the parable that Jesus used about the sheep, a flock of sheep. Here's the deal. As you're turning to John 10, I want you to understand, I believe that in this day that we are approaching, it will be extremely important for us to understand, hear, understand, and obey God's voice. Because this world is full of strange voices. And voices that want nothing better than to get you off track. Some of these voices may seem good at a distance, but perhaps they're wolves in sheep's clothing. So I want you to take this message, this lesson to heart. I know that I am. This one really, I have to deal with this as well. We need to hear God's voice. So Jesus tells this parable, verse 10, John 10 and 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So he said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I read that shepherds, if they were keeping their flocks near a major city or village, they all had this big pen that they would put their at nighttime. They would water their, they'd bring their sheep in, their flocks, water them, and they would put them in the pen, and they would leave them there. And there was a doorkeeper actually that watched the door so that people wouldn't steal from them or wouldn't have wild animals get in. And then the next day, all the sheep, all the flocks are together. The next day, the doorkeeper would open the door, and the shepherds would go out into the fields a little ways, separate each other, and start calling their sheep. Sheep would naturally separate and go to their appropriate shepherds because they knew his voice. They knew his voice because they heard it all the time. They listened to it a lot. It was recognizable to them. The other shepherd, they didn't hear him a lot. Shepherds a lot of times would talk to their sheep. They would sing to their sheep. And shepherds would know, the sheep would know the shepherd's voice because he was there with them all of the time. The more time we spend in his word and listening for his spirit, the better we will recognize those times when he is calling us or when he is directing us. You ever remember having something happen and you wind up saying, I just had this feeling that I was supposed to do this or that? Or maybe a friend enters your mind and you think, oh, I should call him. And so you call and it seems like a supernatural intervention. You were supposed to call that friend right then. It was a God thing. We say that a lot nowadays. That must be a God thing. Somebody's hearing from God for that to take place. Now here's the flip side of the coin. If we recognize a voice because we listen to it and hear it all the time, then we will not recognize a voice of a stranger if we do not listen to it. Now we can learn as much from that part as we can the other part. Because, like I said earlier, there are some strange voices in this world today, in our culture. Strange voices that we probably should not be paying attention to. Amen? Strange voices that sneak in on advertisements, on phone messages, on whatever. We have to be careful what we listen to. We have to be careful what we don't listen to. We need to make sure that those voices, the voice of anxiety, the voice of fear, the voice of frustration, anger, and hate, those voices are stranger voices. Strangers. We're not going to listen to them. We're going to run away from them and go to the voice that we recognize, which is the voice of the Good Shepherd. We must ask ourselves then, who am I allowing to speak to my spirit the most? God told me recently, he said, Jeff, if you will engage in communication with the Spirit more than you engage in your phone, your computer, or your TV for entertainment, you will be able to recognize my voice better and you will hear me more often. Even God warned his people back in Moses' day. He said, listen, there's false prophets out there. They're doing some great things. They're doing miracles. They're seeing prophecies and dreams that come true. And this is in Deuteronomy. God was warning about them. And he said, Deuteronomy 13:4, you shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments. Listen to his voice and cling to him. God desires to speak to you, and he desires you to hear him and understand him and obey him. We need to learn to tune in and incline our ears. Even the gifts of the Spirit, if you think about it, some of those gifts, like the discerning of spirits, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, interpretation of tongues. These are all gifts that demand that we engage our minds with our spirits and communicate spiritually with God for information. Incline your ears. Pay attention to those unctions. I've begin to practice this in my life, so much so that, you know, when you hear something, you know, and you look around and nothing's there, or maybe you see something out of the corner of your eye, that happens sometimes, something a little bit unexplained, I immediately say, God, is that you? Are you trying to tell me something? Because I want my ears inclined to that. I want to be naturally aware of and comfortable with the spiritual world that I live in, because I need to hear God's voice in this day and age. My challenge to you is this. Live with a heightened awareness of God's presence in your life. And then walking in the Spirit and hearing God's voice will become as natural as a sheep following a shepherd. Amen? Live with a heightened awareness of God's voice in your life. If you would, stand with me, please.